few weeks ago, we had a small group leaders meeting, and I shared some things at that meeting just kind of about being encouraged as we run the race. It wasn't something I actually put a whole lot of thought into. It was just something I tend to be kind of a procrastinator, so it was kind of, you know, the last hour before the meeting. It's like, oh, what should I talk on tonight? And so it was really just some stuff from my heart about how I persevere through tough times. I think it was encouraging to people, and so I wanted to share it with you guys as well. But I think as we go through life, it's hard sometimes, and we can get discouraged and feel like, you know, does it need to be this hard? And feel like checking out, feel like giving up sometimes. And I think as we do ministry, that can be challenging too, whether you're a small group leader or teaching Sunday school or in the band or whatever it is you do. I think sometimes it just feels like, oh, why do I do this? You know, you could put a ton of work into a special Sunday school lesson that you're like, oh, this is going to change their life. They're going to remember this forever. And then, you know, like there's one kid in class that day, or you have some friendship, somebody in the church, maybe, or somebody you've been building into, and you really care about them, and you're like, man, if there's one thing that's making my life count, it's being able to speak into this person's life, and then they just check out, and they disappear. And things like that happen all the time in ministry and in life, and yet we have to keep going. And you guys are all sitting here this morning, and that means to some degree you have done that. You've kept going. You've persevered. And that's great. And I've seen a lot of people who've given up. They've given up on church. They've given up on ministry. They've given up on leading small group. They've given up on teaching Sunday school. Some of them have even given up on God. And so I want to just think about some of the things that can help us to keep going. And for me specifically, again, this was just off the top of my head. These are just things that I think make me tick. And I don't think I'm a particularly gifted mover, shaker, change the world type of person. In some ways I would like to be. I don't think that's necessarily my strength. But I think one of my strengths is that I'm a plugger. You know, I just keep plugging away. And I've been through a lot, gone through some hard things, and yet I'm still hanging in there. And I want to be careful. I don't want to sound proud in that because I don't want God to give me more stuff and just see how good of a plugger I am. I'm happy plugging away with this level of hardship in my life. I don't really want any more. But I want to just share with you guys some of the things that help me to plug away. And they might connect with you and they might not. And that's okay. I think different things motivate us. But if you have a hard time staying encouraged and pressing on with a hopeful heart, then I hope there'll be some things from this message that you can take away. Philippians 3:14 says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And when I think of pressing on, it's not just a, oh, you know, just suck it up and try harder and plug away. That's not how I tend to think of it. For me, it's pressing on in a hopeful way. This isn't the stuff that I have to do. This is the stuff I want to do. This is the stuff that I enjoy giving my life to, and that's what I want to do. So in no way do I mean to, like, lay more stuff on you guys today, just cowboy up and work harder. That's not the way I think. The way I think is I want to give myself to the things that I want to give myself to, and there's joy and hope and peace in that. So let's pray. God, we pray that you would just bless this time here today and just that we would be encouraged. God, life can be so hard, even if things aren't going wrong. Just life's tough. We have all kinds of issues. We have hard friendships. We have loneliness. We have disappointment, discouragement. We give ourselves to things that don't pan out. We want to change the world, and sometimes we hardly see any change. And we build into people who walk away from the faith, and just all kinds of things go wrong. Yet somehow we need to find hope and joy in the midst of all that. And I pray that the things that we talk about here this morning would be helpful in that. So we just pray that you would bless, encourage our hearts, give us something that we can hold on to into the future and not just here this morning. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, the first thing on your sheet there, is having clear goals allows us to work toward those goals with joy and a hopeful heart. I'm not a type A person. I'm not like a big goal person or anything. I don't have like written out goals like, here's what I'm doing. Yet, I think there are things that drive me, things that I think about, things that keep me on focus and keep me encouraged. And so I just want to share some of those things with you guys. You may not relate to them. When I think about runners, I think people run for a lot of different reasons. Some of you may be runners, and maybe you just want to stay in shape. Maybe it's for your heart health. Maybe it is because it affects the way you look and you want to look good. Maybe you run because you like to compete against yourself. Maybe you like to compete against other people. Maybe you just like to get t-shirts when you sign up for races. Some people run because they want to compete at some high level. Some people want to compete in the Olympics. They want to go to the Olympics. Some people's goal is to win a medal in the Olympics. Some people wouldn't be happy unless they got a gold medal. Some people wouldn't be happy with the gold medal. They want to break the world record. Some people maybe do it for fame. Some people may do it for riches. Some people may want to please their parents. Some people may want to figure out some way to be accepted by other people, to finally fit in and have people look to them with pride and with approval. So all these different things are motivations. And we're complicated people. It's not necessarily like one goal is the thing that drives us. Probably a lot of different goals drive us. Even a runner may have a lot of different things going on that keeps them going, that helps them go through the hard workouts, that keeps them focused. And I think the same thing in the Christian life is there are a lot of different things that can motivate us. And so the things that motivate me may not motivate you, but let me share with you some of the things that, some of the goals that are helpful to me. 1 Corinthians 9:26, Paul writes, and he says, "Therefore I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Probably a lot of thoughts you could take from this verse. I really just want to focus on that one word, aimlessly. When he talks about running aimlessly, that implies that that's not what he wants to do. He wants to run with aim. He has a goal. He has a focus. And I think one of Paul's goals is just to make his life count. And for me, that's one of the things that matters to me. I feel like just life's hard. Just you go through all these challenges. It's like, it's okay if it's hard, like for a purpose. I don't want it to be hard for nothing. I want my life, my years here on earth to count for something. And so for me, that's one of the things that drives me. Earlier in that same chapter, Paul wrote, "To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some." And I think that's obviously one of Paul's goals, was that he wanted to help people get saved or help people become Christians or help people cross from death to life. As a church, that's one of the things that we would love to help people do. And that's one of the things we'd love to grow in. And that's why we're doing that workshop and why we're doing these testimony videos. Because we want to give our lives to this. We want this to be one of the things that we focus on. And I think, man, if you can help people, it's like, what a beautiful thing. But if you can help people cross from death to life, from darkness to light, from being goats to sheep, if you get to play any part of that, it's like, wow, what a better thing to give your life to. That is so cool and so much fun. And I've had the privilege of being involved in that process a few times, and it's amazing. It's really cool. Even if you are only involved in helping one person cross from death to life in your whole life, that would still be a very significant thing. Even what you do with your kids in helping them grow and fall in love with the Lord and become followers of Him. You know, it's like, that is so valuable, so important. And so that's one of the things that keeps me going. So I just think there's a lot of things I could give my life to, but like that is the coolest. To hear "well done," that's one of the things that I like. In Matthew 25, Jesus was telling a story about a master who gave some different servants various amounts of money, and they came back and did different things with the money. And this is what the master said to one of them. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." And I don't think that necessarily trips everybody's trigger. And some people get kind of defensive and say, well, that's not what it says that is going to happen in heaven or whatever. And I agree, this is a parable that Jesus is telling. I don't know if that's going to happen up in heaven where we stand before God the Father and he says, well done. But it's still one of the things that pulls at me that I like. I think there's something in us that we're really driven by wanting to make our dads happy, wanting to please our fathers. The same thing is true with our Heavenly Father. At least for me, I really have that sense of, I want God to be pleased. I want my Father to be pleased with my life. And so I don't know if it works this way on Judgment Day or as I walk through the gates, but that idea of walking into heaven and the Father seeing me and just giving me a thumbs up and giving me a hug or whatever, be like, well done. I want to live for that. Like, that would make it all worth it. Even if I had a really hard life, that would be so significant. The goal of just growing. I think that's important. This is one of my favorite verses, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. Says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection," or brotherly kindness in the old NIV. "To mutual affection, love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And there are a couple things I like in that verse. One is this idea of having these things in increasing measure. So it's not that we have to reach some level of perfection in these things, that we have to excel at these things or attain a certain level, but it's that we're growing in these things. And so for me, that's kind of exciting, just to have a goal of growing and changing. God changing me into a different person as I follow him and learn his ways. And I think that's really cool, that I can be a different person in 5 years than I am now. And so that's really exciting. And then I also like that part there at the end where it says that if we're growing in these things or we're having these things in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. And so that's also a goal. Is this kind of goes back to my first point there, but just that my life would count, that I would be effective and productive in the way that I live my life. I like this verse, 2 Corinthians 12:15. "So I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well." I like this idea of spending and expending myself, like pouring myself completely out. Again, I think about athletics. I think about like a runner. And can you imagine someone running a mile? And they run the mile, they're in a race, and they get done, and they're like, "Whew, wow, okay, well, that was fun. Man, I'm not very tired yet. Didn't get a very good workout in. I should probably do that a couple more times." And they're in a race. Be like, what's wrong with you? That's not how you run a race, right? You run a race, you exhaust yourself, right? You give it all. You expend yourself. Same thing in playing football, right? You're supposed to leave it all on the field, right? Like all your energy, everything you've got. You don't want to lose the game and then be on the bus ride home and everybody's like, "Yeah, I didn't try very hard either. Yeah, me either." You know, it's like, well, why would you do that? And so there's this aspect of like, I want to live my life well. I want to spend my life. I'm going to expend my life. I'm going to pour myself out, and that's okay. That's what I want to do. I'm going to spend my life somehow, somewhere. You know, my life is going to get spent. And just to realize that that's just part of life. I just want to spend my life in the things that are important to me, the things that count, on these goals. And so if I get through life and I'm all tired and exhausted, it's like, well, that's kind of what I expect, right? That should be life. And it's not like I'm, you know, the Energizer bunny or something. I'm getting older and I'm getting tired and I don't have the energy that I used to have. And for sure, I like to rest, but I also understand when I'm tired and I've been giving myself to things that are important. It's like, well, that's good. That's what I want to do. I want to spend my life. I want to expend myself in doing God's work and loving people. And so that allows me to press on with a hopeful heart if I know that I'm spending myself on things that I want to spend myself on. If I have goals and I'm working towards those goals, I'm spending my life on those things, then for me that allows me to spend my life with a smile on my face, kind of. Not that I'm a very smiley person either, but but I'm at least happy on the inside. Just don't show it on the out. Another thing that's helpful is focusing on our goals helps us to have the energy to pursue our goals without spending our energy somewhere else. If we focus on our goals, then we can give ourselves to those things without getting sidetracked on a whole bunch of other stuff that saps our energy from us and leaves us tired and exhausted and discouraged. One point there would be to don't take on things that detract from the goal. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, "No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer." Kathleen and I have a parenting ministry. It's not super active right now, but over the years we've done a lot and just trying to encourage and coach parents. And oftentimes parents can get discouraged, I guess particularly moms, because they're just so engaged with their kids. And oftentimes we hear about just, you know, it's like, well, they have church and they have small group and they have a mom's meeting that they go to, and they have play dates at the park, and they have another Bible study in another church, and then they have Awana that they do, and then they have Boy Scouts, and then they have four different sports that their kids are involved in, and they are juggling all these things, you know, getting books from the library and taking books back to the library and trying to find books that need to go back, and it's like all of life gets so overwhelming, and just think, man, just simplify. Like, figure out what you want to do and focus on that and get rid of the rest. And in that, if anybody feels like you're in that spot, I'm not trying to, like, make you feel bad, like oh, you're a bad person. I'm saying if you feel tired and exhausted because you're too busy, then don't be so busy. So go back to your goals, figure out what you want to give yourself to, and then get rid of this other stuff so that you're not spending your life pouring yourself out for things that aren't your goals. Just want to focus on the things that are before you. Focus on the things that God has put on your plate and not other stuff. Along with that, take some time off. Save your energy for the goal. Don't fill up every minute. And just being in America, I think it's really easy for us to do that and to spend every minute busy with something. And in Exodus and the Ten Commandments, of course, God said, "The seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work." And as Christians, being in the New Testament, some people would have different thoughts on this, but I don't believe that we're under this Sabbath day rule. So I don't think we have to follow the Sabbath anymore. However, I think that God gave us his rules for a purpose. There was good in them. They weren't just random rules. And so I think the idea of taking a day off is a very healthy thing for us. And I would really encourage you to take a day every week where you don't work and you're not busy with a bunch of stuff and you actually get to rest, because then you have energy to live your life and do the things that God has given you the other 6 days of the week. And I think that's really healthy. I think it's healthy for being recharged. I also think it's healthy just for us not getting this mindset of, it all depends on me. I have to work really hard. I have to work really hard all the time. I need to keep going. If I don't keep going, things are going to fall apart. And God doesn't have this in control, but I'll help him out. And I'll make sure that everything, it's like, just take a day off. You know what? The world's still going to go okay. God's got it. And that's something through the years we've been pretty faithful with, as we've tried to take a day off each week And almost no matter how good the cause, if something was going on that day, we'd be like, nope, sorry, stay off. And it's just, I feel like it's just a way of putting God first and trusting ourselves to Him. And then I think a benefit of that is we get to rest. And then that gives us the energy for the goals that we have. So on this point, I think the idea here is just, if we're feeling discouraged and overwhelmed, maybe we're spending a lot of energy on things that are not our goals. So we may want to cut back on some of those things. And we may just need to rest. And sometimes I think when we get to that point, then the way we rest is we get rid of things that are important to us. We get rid of some of the things that are working toward our goals. And the idea would be to cut out the things that don't help us get toward our spiritual goals. Embracing the good in the journey helps us be encouraged as we run hard. And here I'm talking about being encouraged in this life. I think there's also an element of being encouraged and hopeful toward the next life, and we'll talk about that in the next point. But I think it's also important that we understand that there is good that comes in following the Lord here and now, in this life. Romans 14, 17 says, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." That's really cool. The kingdom of heaven is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy. There's a blessing in following God and being in His kingdom, coming under His kingship, following Him. There's a blessing in that, a blessing of righteousness, that you live right. Well, that brings a lot of really good things into your life. It can help you be free from guilt. It can help you not end up in prison. There's just a lot of good that comes in that that I think is easy for us to overlook. Peace with God, peace with other people, joy. How important is that? I've thought about people who I grew up with or went to school with. Some of them have for sure been more successful than I have in different ways. And yet, I think most of those people that I know would really be envious of my life and my relationship with my wife and the friends that I have and the peace that I have and the forgiveness that I have in Jesus, the hope that I have. There are a lot of good things that come from following God, from being in His kingdom. And that's a very, very joy-filled thing. And that's one of the things that I think helps us to press on with a hopeful heart is when our hope is truly in God and His ways. And I think of the apostles, and as they followed God, it wasn't just a, hey, let's just sacrifice a lot. Let's die to ourselves, and that's going to be our mantra. No, they did die to themselves, but they were so joy-filled about it. It's crazy. I think of a verse, I think it's Acts 5:41, where the apostles leave the Sanhedrin, and they've just been beat up for their faith. And they walk away, and they're rejoicing because they've been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. It's like, okay, that's hard for me to relate to. But that's the level of joy that marked them. They were sacrificial. They lived hard lives. But they were filled with joy because they were giving themselves to the things of God. And so I think that just is part of the Christian life, is that we can find joy in following God, in being in His kingdom, in adopting His ways. Mark 10:29, "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who's left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and for the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, home, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." So there are a few things that I see in that verse. One is that we receive 100 times as much in this life. Not just in the next life, that's important too, but also in this life. Another thing I see is it talks about the next life too. So that's significant. So we have this life, the next life, and it also talks about persecutions. It kind of throws that in there. And I think that's helpful just in understanding, you know, it's not a prosperity gospel. It's not, hey, follow Jesus and everything's going to be amazing. You're going to be rich. You're going to drive a really nice car. You're going to have a big house. No one's going to die in your life. No one's going to be sick. It's all going to be awesome. That is not what Jesus promises. But he does promise that it's going to be a really good life. Does anybody have a quarter? Everybody does everything electronically now? Seriously? Nobody has a quarter in this room? Okay, now a few people are getting serious. They're digging. I'll pick that young lady over there. Can you bring it up, Lavender? I want to make a deal with you. Would you be willing to trade me that quarter for $25? Good? Okay. All right, thank you. Sorry, Blaze, I rejected you because I thought doing it with my son wouldn't be as cool. Lavender, all right, I got a question for you. Are you sad that you lost this quarter? No? Really? Because, I mean, it's kind of cool, has George Washington on it. What is that? It gave me like a pterodactyl quarter or something. Seriously, it's got like a flying dinosaur. You're okay? You don't want to trade back? You're right? Okay. Let's look at that again. No one who's left home, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or fields, or me, for the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much. That's what she just got, 100 times as much. Is she going home sad today because she lost her quarter? No. And that's the way it is when we give our lives to follow Jesus. You receive 100 times as much in this life. Now, it may not be riches. It may be in love. It may be in relationships. It may be in peace and righteousness and different things. But it's still pretty good. There's no reason for us to be like, oh, life's so hard. What a blessing to get 100 times as much. It's a pretty good thing. I was going to do it for $1, but I thought, I don't want to give away $100. That's too much. Press on with a hopeful heart. Press on with a hopeful heart, believing that there's a blessing in following God, being in his kingdom, adopting his ways in this life, and in the next life as well. And I think realizing that the race is coming to an end helps us to run with courage and stamina as we race to the finish line. It's not all about the end of this life, but there is an aspect of thinking about the end of this life that I think can be encouraging. Not everything changes when this life comes to an end, but some things do. There'll be no more mourning or death or crying or pain. That's going to be a good thing. I look forward to that. And for me, I often think of that as the finish line. When I used to run track, I was never amazing or anything, but I always thought about the finish line. You know, it's like, okay, you know, only 100 yards left to go to the finish line, or just a little bit more, you know, and it's you have your eyes set on that. And that gives you hope to help you to run hard until you get there. Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler, and the guy had asked him about eternal life, and Jesus is having an interaction with him. It says, Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven, then come follow me. The guy went away sad. Why? Because he really liked his quarter. He liked his quarter, and he wanted to hold on to his quarter. He was pretty happy with that. But he wanted to follow Jesus too. But he wasn't willing to let go of his quarter. Because he was focused on it. And he wasn't thinking about the $25. He wasn't thinking about how Jesus said he'd have treasure in heaven. That just like was over his head. All he thought was, look at what Jesus is asking me to give up. And he wasn't thinking about, look at what Jesus is offering to give me. I think if we can focus on this life and focus on the next life, that really frees us up to give up some in this life, knowing that there's blessing in both. 1 Corinthians 2:8 It says, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it's written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. This verse is not necessarily just talking about the next life. In context, it's not super clear which life it's talking about, but I often think about this in relationship to the next life, and I can't even conceive what heaven's like. I can't even conceive what the future's like. It's going to be so amazing, so incredible, and to have some hope set there of no matter how hard this race is, this race comes to an end. And even though there are some good things that happen during this race, I'm still going to be really glad when it's over and there's no more death and mourning and crying and pain, and I just get to be with Jesus and rest and catch my breath. And the end of the race is a pretty awesome thing. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Well, that last part, that's kind of what I'm worried about, is that people grow weary and lose heart. And it says, consider him, consider Jesus, think about him so that we won't grow weary and lose heart. Or what's it say he did? It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So there's something in front of Jesus that he is looking forward to that helped him to endure the pain and suffering that he went through on the cross. What was that joy? Well, like with us, there may have been multiple things. Well, at some point, he's going to come down off the cross. That's encouraging. It may have been that he was taking care of all our sins, that he could be united with us someday, that we would be made pure and blameless because of what he did for us on the cross, that we could have eternal life through faith in him. It may have been that whole thing that was happening. He's like, okay, this is a good thing, so I'm staying up here. Maybe it's being reunited with his father or doing his father's will. Those were things that probably would have been motivations for Jesus. But whatever it was, he had some joy set before him that helped him endure. That helped him endure. And I think we need that same thing, a joy set before us that helps us endure. And not to just be focused on how hard this moment is or how discouraging our most recent trial is, but to realize, you know what? We have a hope that goes beyond our hard circumstances, beyond our health problems, beyond our discouragement, beyond our financial issues, beyond our relational problems. We have a hope that goes beyond all those things. And we have hope in the next life as well as in this life. And so those are some of the things that have helped me to endure and press on and still have hope and still be like, yeah, I want to continue in this race. This is what I want to continue to give my life to up until I can't anymore. And so that's my heart. That's my goal. So I hope some of those things are encouraging to you guys. And again, those are just the things that stir me, some of the things that stir me. There might be some different things that stir you, but maybe that process will be helpful as you think through that in your own life. I think it's good to, even though I'm not a real goal person and don't have this written out until I wrote this sermon, but didn't have this written out, like, okay, well, here are my goals. Just to have in your mind some of those things of, what am I doing? What am I giving my life to? And I think that's really encouraging and can help us to not grow weary and lose heart, but instead to press on with a hopeful heart. So let's pray. God, we just thank you for just the work that you've done in our lives. Thank you for the amazing forgiveness that we have and the relationship that we have with you. I thank you that you have just completely dealt with our sins. You've called us into your kingdom, and I thank you that that's a good thing and an amazing thing, and that there is joy in knowing you, in worshiping you, living for you, following you, even even growing and changing and in some ways becoming like you. What an amazing, beautiful thing. And I pray, God, that you would help us to have some sort of goals, things in our head that we're living for, the things that you've given us, that you've put on our hearts, that you're calling us into. God, that we would be able to focus on those things wholeheartedly, not get distracted by little side things that just take away our time and energy. God, that we would be able to realize that pursuing the things that you've given us brings good. It brings good in this life and in the next. And that we would find joy in that. And so we thank you for this time here. We love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name.